Listen, if you're lost today, the message we're preaching is that you may be saved. You can know the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He opens up His arms from the cross through the grave and back from heaven. He opens up His arms and He says, come to me, come to me, come to me.
So, are you going to come to Him? Well, this is Sharon Baptist Church. You're about to hear a message from Pastor James Strickland. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. We're open Sundays and Wednesdays, 10:45 and 7 p.m. We do live stream our services on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. Of course, we'd love to have you come join us. You can get directions right on our website. Again, that's SharonBaptistConcord.com. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
You do know that Jesus' resurrection from the dead makes Christianity different from all other religions in the world. No other religion in this world has ever or will ever have a risen Savior. Only Christianity. And aren't we glad it's that way? I want to share a message today on the reality of the resurrection. I would encourage you at your leisure to take the time to really do an in-depth study of the first book of Corinthians chapter 15. Won't you turn there with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to share a message in the first 11 or 12 verses here. Paul shares about the reality of the resurrection. Please study this whole chapter. It's a wonderful, the whole chapter is devoted to Paul talking about the glory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you're saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. You do understand, I'm sure, don't you, that life is not to be completed in this side. This is just a portion of life. Life is to be completed in eternity. We're not created just for life here. Mankind is created for eternity. And you start thinking about eternity, then your mind has to come back to the thought of the resurrection, doesn't it? Because you see, all of us must pass through death unless Jesus comes to receive us unto Himself. Hebrews 9:27 says this, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So you see, Scriptures also teach us that the wages of sin is death. The Old Testament writers wrote Ezekiel, Isaiah, others wrote, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Well then, since we know we're going to die, we ought to start thinking about what comes after death? What takes place after death? We only need to turn back to what Paul's writing right here. He needs to explain to us the reality of the resurrection. He had to explain this to the Corinthian Christians because there were people in the Corinthian church who were all mixed up in their theology, and some didn't even believe there was going to be a resurrection. Alas, that crowd's still with us, isn't it? A lot of folks today believe that the resurrection of Jesus was nothing more than a hoax. It didn't really happen. They don't believe in a resurrection. Well, it doesn't matter whether they believe it or not. It took place. Amen. It really did take place, didn't it? Paul needed to explain this to them here. Listen, if you look along verse 12 and 13, 14, that's a very key to the understanding of this whole chapter. Just look at those verses with me. Verse 12. Paul writes and he says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, and how some say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. And we are found of ourselves," he says, "false witnesses, because we've testified that God raised Christ up from the dead, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ risen." That's the key to the whole chapter. The fact of the resurrection, the reality of the resurrection, Paul lays it out very plain here. If it were not for this error in the Corinthian church, of those, some of those not believing in a resurrection, if it were not for that error, you know something? We may not have ever had this wonderful, wonderful chapter totally devoted to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that God saw fit through His Holy Spirit to allow Paul to write this? Listen, the fact, the reality of the resurrection. Paul begins to deal with it here. And I'm just going to use these first 12 verses, but please go and read the whole chapter. Please read it time and time and time again and let the real message of it sink into your heart, into your life. But let's look at, actually, Paul had probably 6 or 7 divisions in this chapter talking about the resurrection. But Paul begins right here in these verses by giving up Corinthian Christians and to us today, giving us the reality of the resurrection. There's 3 things I'm going to share. First of all, I want to share this. The resurrection is a declaration of God's plan for mankind. I'm not going to go back and read all the verses again. You can look at them for yourselves. Look in verse 1 and 2. Paul declared, "What I'm giving you, I received." Paul got it from God. Paul's saying, "I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm not giving you my theory. I'm not giving you what I propose just to concoct somewhere and believe. This is not of man," Paul says. "This is of God." And God begins to declare His plan for mankind. Listen, God planned for the resurrection. The resurrection is a great part in the plan of God. Think about this. Have you ever stopped to think God planned for you and for me to be a part of the resurrection? Before the foundation of the world was ever laid, God planned that you and I would take part in the great resurrection. What is that plan? What is God's plan here? This declaration of God's plan, there's a couple things involved. It involves, first of all, the gospel. Paul says, "The gospel I'm preaching to you, it came from God. God planned in the annals of eternity before we ever came on the scene. God planned to give us the gospel, a revelation of Himself." The whole Bible is a revelation of God the Father through God the Son, Jesus Christ. The whole Bible centers around Him. And God begins here to declare His plan, the gospel. It's a revelation of God Himself, isn't it? You know, we sometimes, probably as conservative Christians, we take the gospel for granted. God forbid we should ever do that. But we do sometimes, don't we? We who have the gospel, we who know the gospel, we have accepted the gospel, we have been saved by the grace of God through hearing of the preaching of the gospel, we just take that for granted when a lot of the world has never heard the gospel. But God planned for the gospel to be taken to the whole world. Now, we hear a lot today about the social gospel. Oh, there's a lot of talk about social gospel, and I'm not against doing social things in the rightful place. It's good. But listen to me, beloved. A social gospel makes no provision for mankind in eternity. None. It's just for the now. It's for the here and now and not the hereafter. The gospel has a plan of God for mankind, not only here, but hereafter as well. Listen, the gospel gave me hope for eternity. The gospel of Christ gave mankind new hope for eternity. The gospel of Christ centers around the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And His soon, I believe, coming again. I believe Jesus is going to come soon. I hope you believe that. And man's preparation for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all part of God's plan, you see. This is just a plan of God, the gospel. This is part of God's plan for your life and for my life as well. Isn't it wonderful, God's plan for us? Paul's saying, "The gospel I preach to you is what I received from God the Father to give to you." But not only in God's plan was it to give us the gospel, that mankind also might gain from God in these same verses. Do you believe God wills that all to be saved? Now, I know there's denominations who think that some are chosen to be saved and some are condemned and nothing you can do to cross over and, you know, some are going to be saved and some are going to be lost. No. Not according to the gospel. The Word of God says this, it is not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So you see those who tend to profess that some are going to be saved, some are going to be lost, some can't get saved, some's already saved. Forget that stuff. Believe the Bible. Believe what God said. It's not the will of God that any should be perishing, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth and repent of their sins. God wants us all to gain from hearing the gospel God planned for us, to live a life and to gain from it. The whole world has opportunity. Listen, if you're lost today, the message we're preaching is that you may be saved. You can know the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He opens up His arms from the cross through the grave and back from heaven. He opens up His arms and He says, come to Me. Come to Me. Come to Me. You see, Paul said, the gospel I preached unto you is great gain unless you have believed the gospel, he says here, in vain. What does he mean, unless you've received the gospel in vain? What is this, receiving the gospel in vain? It means receiving the gospel as something of just emptiness or worthlessness, void of any real meaning and worth in their people's lives. He said, some of you says right here that you've received the gospel, but your life doesn't show it. There's no change in your life. What's that saying to us today? Are there those today who have received the gospel in vain? I do believe they are. There's supposed to be a great, great, huge change in your life. It's to be receiving the Lord Jesus Christ and remain faithful unto Him until you see Him one day face to face. That's God's plan. To give us the gospel, let us have great gain in knowing our Lord Jesus Christ. According to Paul, those who don't remain faithful have received the gospel in vain. So I'm sure there's a lot of that crowd left around today too. They'll come to church sometimes on Easter or Christmas, maybe a certain holiday, but that's about all you ever see them. They might have received the gospel in vain. Something to think about, isn't it? If it's worthless to them now, it's worthless to them in the future. An old pastor once told me something, and I've remembered it over the years. It sounded kind of crude in a way, but it's true. He said, if you don't have a salvation that can bring you to church, it will never get you to heaven. Now you think about it. If He can't get you to church, it's not going to get you to heaven. So you see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a declaration of God's plan. God has a plan for your life. God had a plan for my life. He has a plan for every person's life in this world. Just finding Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and getting into the part of God's plan He has for you. The resurrection includes you if you'll accept Him as Lord and Savior. There's a second truth here Paul shares with these Corinthians and with us. The resurrection not just declares God's plan, it also defines God's proof. If you look in verse 3 and in verse 4, you'll see it. God has a plan for every person, and God proved His plan by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God included every person in salvation if they'll trust Jesus. Listen to what He says. Look at the proof God gave here in verse 3 and 4. Look in verse 3. Here you see the principle of God. Jesus died. Did you see that? It was in the plan of God for Jesus to come to this earth, be born of the Virgin, live a perfect, sinless life, and go to the cross and give His life, shed His blood, and die on the cross to pay for your sins and for mine. One of the greatest discussions I ever heard, senseless as it was, but when I was in Bible college years ago, some of these rocking chair theologians on the front porch of the dormitory got into a discussion about the fact, well, did Jesus really have to die? Some said yes, some said no. I just sat and listened. They got into almost an argument about it. Jesus came to this earth to die. There was no other way. God didn't have another plan. There was no substitute but Jesus Christ, and He came to this world with the express purpose and plan of God, and God proved it because Jesus went to Calvary's cross and He bled and died on the cross for our sins. You see, that makes all the difference in God's plan and God's proof that Jesus did die on the cross. He died for your sins and for mine. We all, beloved, listen to me, had a huge debt of sin that none of us could pay. All of us combined couldn't pay for our sins. And Jesus went to the cross and died and paid the debt for your sins and for mine. That's God's proof of His plan, you see. Not only does it say here, Paul said, that Jesus died according to the Scriptures, not one word of God's Scriptures, not one word of prophecy would ever go unfulfilled concerning Jesus coming to this earth and going to the cross and giving His life and dying for your sins and mine. Not a word would go unfulfilled. We see here by the Scriptures, Jesus died. That's a principle of God. But notice something else. The provision of God here was, Jesus was buried. Look at verse 4. Now listen to me. All you can do with a dead person is bury them. Now I know cremation's come on the scene in the last years, but still, all you can do with a dead body is bury it, right? So it says Jesus was buried. You don't bury the living, do you? You just bury the dead, don't you? Somebody said, only Baptists bury their living. I wish that weren't true. I hope it's not very true, but I've heard that over the years too. Listen, the death of Jesus proved God's plan was in effect. The very burial of Jesus confirmed it. That dispels all the theories that you might have heard over the years, and I've heard a lot of them. Well, Jesus didn't really die. He just fainted, kind of went unconscious, and the disciples took him down, you see. They put him in that tomb, and they revived him, and he came back. That was what they call the swooning theory. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says Jesus died, and they buried him. That's proof of God's plan. Jesus died. That's a principle of God. Jesus was buried. That's a provision God made. But look at something else there. Paul further says, but Jesus rose again. That's a purpose of God in verse 3 there and in verse 4. Like I said earlier, not one word of God's prophecy goes unfulfilled. Not one word of it. The prophecy of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus' resurrection on the third day proved what God said He would do. In fact, He did it. Now look at this. Paul only had, now listen, Paul didn't have all the New Testament like we have. Paul only had the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus coming, Jesus dying, Jesus being buried, and Jesus being raised again from the third day. Listen, Paul might have gone back in the Old Testament all the way back to Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3:15 is the first prophecy of the coming of the Lord. It says in Genesis 3:15 concerning Jesus and Satan. It says, Satan shall bruise his heel, Jesus' heel. That's the death. But it says, Jesus shall crush the head of Satan. That's the resurrection. So you see that, you can go all the way back to Genesis and you find the prophecy there of the death, burial, and resurrection, and great victory our Lord Jesus had on the cross and through the death and rising again the third day. You see, the final triumph to Christianity is in the resurrection. It's in the resurrection. Nobody ever rose from the dead but Jesus. So you see God's plan for all mankind, give us the gospel. We have great gain from that. God proved it in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul said a third thing here I want you to see with me. The resurrection is a demonstration of God's power. In verses 5 through the remaining portion of that chapter, you can look at it. God not only has a plan for us, God not only gave a proof to us, God has a power to show us and display here as Jesus rose again from the dead. Look at it from two aspects. First of all, the historical fact of the resurrection is found in verses 5 through verse 8. Now, Paul didn't need to explain to the Corinthians the doctrine of death. They understood death. We don't need to have the doctrine of death explained to us, do we? We understand what death is. They understood death. It was on a daily display everywhere they went. They always saw death. We see death every day almost, don't we, in some form or another. Death does not need explaining. But beloved, listen to me. The resurrection does. It needs to be explained. And Paul gave 6 or 7 different proofs here of the fact of the resurrection. Why would he do that? Well, the world had seen death. They understood that. But they had never seen a legitimate, genuine resurrection. Listen to me. Some of them had probably seen Jesus restore Lazarus back to life. He did, in fact, do that, you know. But He did not resurrect Lazarus. He restored Lazarus to life. Lazarus had to die again after he was restored from that 4 days being in the grave. So his was not a resurrection. Lazarus was a restoration. Jesus coming forth from the dead was a true and legitimate, genuine resurrection. Listen to me, there has never been but one up to this point. But when Jesus comes again to receive us unto himself, we're going to have a true resurrection. Because when Jesus rose again from the dead, he rose again to never experience death again. When I come forth from that grave, if I die, or if you die and you come forth, burst forth out of that grave with that glorified new body, you're never going to be subject again to death, hell, or the grave. That's a true resurrection. Jesus, the Bible says, was the first fruits. He's the first one. He's the only one up to this point who's ever had a true resurrection. They'd seen Lazarus come back, but Lazarus later on died. But Jesus came forth with a glorified body, never to die again. That's a historical fact. This fact of history, it's tried to have been denied, refuted, disbelieved down through the years. But even the most liberal of scholars cannot deny the facts of the resurrection. Let me give you just a couple of those historical facts. First of all, when Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to his saints. Look in verse 5 through 7. It's a fact. Jesus was seen in the glorified flesh after the resurrection. He was seen by Peter. He was seen then by the 12 disciples. He was seen by James. He was seen above 500 brethren, Paul says, on a mountainside. Proof that the power of God had power over death, hell, and the grave. And Paul says even many of these witnesses, these 500, many are still with us today. Some of them have died, but he said many of them are still with us. Could all those witnesses be wrong? No. It's a historical fact. He appeared to his saints after the resurrection. Notice something else about this historical fact. He appeared to sinners as well. Paul talks about himself. Paul testifies how Jesus appeared to him on that road to Damascus as he was going forth to persecute Christians and arrest them, bring them back to Jerusalem for possible execution. Paul said, he appeared to me. I was one born out of due time. I'm not worthy, Paul said, to even be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. But you see, Jesus appeared to sinners after his resurrection. He appeared to Paul. Jesus still appears to sinners today. He appeared to me about 45 or 50 years ago, long time ago, in the Spirit. Of course, Jesus still stands in the power of his Spirit to appeal and to appear and to woo and to draw sinners unto himself today. It's the power of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ who does this. Paul said, this grace was bestowed upon me as it was bestowed upon you when you repented of your sins and gave your life to Jesus. Now listen, Paul didn't intend to brag on himself when he bragged about, I labored more than all of them. Paul was not bragging on himself. Please don't misunderstand him. He was bragging on the grace of God, amen? That's what he was talking about. I labored, he says, more than them all. Paul bragged on the grace of God. Listen, that same grace that saved Paul, that same grace is available to you and to me today. It's available still to every person in this world till Jesus comes again. So you see, the historical fact is, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his saints. He appeared to sinners, and he appropriated saving grace to all those who would trust him. That's just a historical fact. Can't refute that. But because of the resurrection, we who accepted him have a heavenly future. Oh my, look at verse 11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. I have a heavenly future in store, and so do you if you put your faith and your trust in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says it doesn't matter whether it was me or somebody else. Doesn't matter who preached you the gospel, as long as they preached you the gospel, the true gospel, and you believed it, he says, the grace of God has extended to you a heavenly future. You still believed, he said, by the grace of God. By grace are you saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Of course. Listen. We still preach the same gospel today that Paul preached in the first century. And by the grace of God, God willing, I'm sure he is, and God enabling us as long as we live, as long as we have a semblance of a mind and a voice to speak, we're going to still share that same gospel that Jesus does live. He arose from the dead on the third day, and he still lives, and he offers salvation to all those who will believe. You know, we do understand, I hope we do, that we're going to live in eternity somewhere. Just because you die in this life, that's not the end of you. You don't die and just be burned up like an old stick somewhere. You're going to live forever in eternity somewhere. And there's only one of two places you can spend eternity. that is in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior, and with all the host of the saints of God, if you've trusted Jesus, been saved, or if you've not been saved, when you pass this life, you're going to go to a devil's hell that I cannot minimize in any kind of way the horrific nature of what it's going to be. I could never explain how terrible it's going to be. The Bible doesn't even tell us all about it. But I can tell you this, souls are created for eternity. You're going to live somewhere forever. Why not make your eternity sure and know you have a heavenly eternity to spend with Jesus Christ? You see, Jesus has appeared to His saints. He appeared to sinners. He appropriated saving grace. And He's still doing that today. He appeared to me in the Spirit years ago when my old home pastor from Louisiana, I've shared before, he was an old Cajun. He loved the Lord. He's from Shreveport, Louisiana, but he loved God, and he loved me, and he never gave up on me, and I'm so thankful today that he didn't. When I get to heaven, I want to hug his neck and tell him thank you again. I don't know who shared the gospel with you, but you ought to thank him. You ought to be grateful that God sent somebody in your life to share the gospel with you. I'm trying to share today with all of us, and those who may be viewing, those who may be listening, that Jesus is alive. Jesus is doing well, don't you worry. His Holy Spirit's still in this world today to woo us and draw us, and He'll save us, all of us, if we'll trust Him as Lord and Savior. Listen, why not make your eternity secure and sure? Because of the reality, you see, of the resurrection. That's what makes Christianity real. That's what makes my heavenly future so secure, as I'm trusting in the only one who's ever come back from the dead with a true glorified resurrection. I'm so thankful one day I'm going to meet Him face to face, and I'm going to fall at His feet. If I'm able to even utter a word, it's going to be, thank you, Jesus, for going to Calvary. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my sin debt. Thank you, Jesus, for raising from the dead. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for wooing and drawing me to the Lord Jesus Christ, all because of resurrection. You see, all other religions are dead end streets, going to nowhere in eternity. Only Christianity is going into eternity to be with Jesus forever and forever and forever. I'll just go spend the day with Jesus, but that day will never end. One glorious eternity. I'm looking forward to it. How about you? Lord Jesus, I want to stop and just personally say thank you again for saving me, a wretched, heathen, pagan. My sins were laid upon you on the cross. When I see the horrific nature of how you were beaten, beyond recognition even, tortured as no man has ever tortured, it was all because of me. It was all because of me, but it's all for me too. And all those who put their faith in you. And as Lord, today, like Paul of old, we preach the gospel to those who listen. And I wouldn't want anyone, Lord Jesus, to receive the gospel in vain. But it would make a life-transforming change in their lives. May those who may be listening or viewing, who in thinking about Jesus Christ, may the Holy Spirit draw them and let them know that if they'll come and accept Jesus Christ, they too shall enjoy the resurrection. Heavenly Father, I pray today, on this day you'll get all the honor, glory, and praise which is due you in this life. And when all heaven assembles one day, every one of us will cast our crowns at your feet. And we'll give you the due praise, honor, and glory that you so deserve. But until that day comes, may someone today relinquish their life into your hands. May others dedicate or rededicate their lives to be faithful to the end. Until we see you face to face, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is serious, folks. This is forever. This is eternity we're talking about. Well, that was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. We're open Sundays and Wednesdays, 10:45 and 7 p.m. We do live stream those services on Facebook at Sharon Baptist Concord. Again, you can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. God bless you.